It's time now for the Great Green Garden Show, brought to you by Paradise Gardens.
Things are starting to warm up. Is it time to go to Paradise Gardens?
Not so fast, Stinky. Paradise Gardens is not open for business yet. Just a little bit longer to wait.
But I can't wait much longer. I'm ready to see all those locally grown products they have to offer.
Paradise Gardens on the corner of Route 84 and Highway 136 in Fulton, now associated with Five Star Landscaping.
Well, joining us on the phone, we have Margo. And Margo, there's a story in Radio Iowa that we're going to run this week about getting ready to get those seeds planted, you know, get them started.
Right.
Not plant them outside, but get them started to be planted outside later on. So now is that time. And Horticulture in the Heartland is this Saturday. And I know that was something that you were always involved with.
Well, it is, and some great speakers. It's in DeWitt, and it's already started. I think it started at 8:30 this morning. So, what a wonderful, wonderful group of programs. So what they do is they have different speakers come in, and, of course, they have donuts and coffee in the morning and lunch, and then they have a speaker after lunch. So, you know, good luck to them, and I'm glad the storms have passed so travel is safe. So I'm sure they're having a great time, great information. So it's always the first Saturday of March, and that date's pretty consistent. So
one of the things, you know, with the seed thing, I was going to try this last year, and then I think I planted them and started them inside way too late, and by the time I got them outside, you know, I didn't even get tomatoes till August. So I got to remember to do that. I got to get those seeds started here today or tomorrow. I'm going to get going on that.
Well, and I do want to comment, and I'm not sure what information they're going to give in that program, but I do want to comment that really read the back of the packet, because some will say start 8 weeks before you set it out, start 6 or 4 weeks. So really pay attention to that, because some things we still might be a little early for tomatoes, but count back from about the middle of May. May 10th is our frost date. So that's what you need to do. And also know that if you've never planted seeds before, start small. Only do a few packets. Read the instructions. Make sure you have adequate light. Sometimes the windowsill is not enough, especially if we have a week or two of cloudy weather. So just kind of read up on it a little bit and check that timing, because some seeds take longer than others. So, and I do want to mention, Paul, also, you know, last year I encouraged people that have never gardened or hadn't gardened for a while to maybe put in just one tomato or one cucumber. So if you want to try and plant maybe a tomato or two or a pepper or two, and you don't need a specific variety, just buy a packet of plants. You know, if only you want one or two, I think it's just easier than... Now, if you want to try and start seeds, that's great, but... I think for all the work and timing and things that need to go in seedlings, you know, they're little baby plants, so they do need attention. So that's my take on starting seeds. Just be informed, read the seed catalogs, read the seed packets, and there's a lot of information on there, Paul. So be careful not to jump the gun. Or, Paul, if you do have a packet of seed, just start a few of them early. In another week or two, start another little batch. And that way, if one doesn't make it or something happens, you've got, another group of tomato plants to fall back on. So
that's great advice, Margo. I really appreciate that. And I'm hoping that maybe some of the listeners out there have similar questions. And so maybe we're helping them, but we do want to remind them if they have a question, they can always call during the show. Now, one of the other questions I wanted to hit you with is our backyard was all Creeping Charlie last year. And of course that all died off in the winter. And so now it's just all dirt. When is the proper time to plant some grass seed out there?
Okay, so a few things on Creeping Charlie. It might be all dead on top, but that doesn't mean the roots aren't still alive. So we need to be a little bit careful because I don't know if young grass can overtake Creeping Charlie. So just understand that since the top died back, there may still be some roots that are active and can grow. But actually, great question, Paul. Anytime now you can be putting grass seed on. It might not germinate until that ground temperature is around 50, 55. It can sometimes germinate in that cooler 50-degree temperature of the soil. But as you know, the air temperature keeps fluctuating up and down, but it will not hurt grass seed. So, yes, great question. Go ahead and get grass seed on as soon as you can, and maybe you can get a jump on that Creeping Charlie and get ahead of it. But Creeping Charlie is a hard one to get rid of, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Okay, now I have a question for you, Paul. So do you remember growing up ever seeing any bald eagles?
So, yeah, when I was a little kid, maybe grade school age, I remember I was out playing in the backyard, and I heard a noise of a bird, kind of a squawk type thing, and I looked up, and it was a bald eagle, and it was the first one I had ever seen. And I remember running into the house and telling my mom, Mom, I saw a bald eagle, because it was so rare. You just never saw them.
Right. And, you know, that's a great, start for my program, because I, too, did not remember seeing eagles, but maybe once. And I was so excited because they just weren't around. And so I remember them banning DDT. So the low for the eagles nesting, and the reason I bring this up is I saw some eagles the other day, and there were quite a few of them. And I still get excited, but I remember not seeing them because back in the 60s, they were actually headed towards extinction. And there actually were only 417 nesting pairs back then. And now in 2020, they are counting over 71,000 nesting pairs, which equals about 316,000 or 317,000 eagles in and around the United States in 2020. So it was an absolute success story in banning DDT in 1972. that was one of the reasons for the numbers plummeting. Also, habitat loss. And then people were shooting them back then. And so it was pretty dire. I mean, we were losing, our national bird, for heaven's sakes. So in 2007, finally, the bald eagle was removed from the endangered list as far as, you know, the number of nests and the number that they had had counted. Now, what they found with the DDT, which was a nasty, nasty chemical, along with chlorodane, was that the DDT was actually weakening the eggshells of the eagles. So they would lay the eggs, sit on them, and then they would break the egg. So that's one reason the population started going downhill really fast. Now, the Mississippi River, of course, the whole Mississippi River basin is a major population center for eagles. And there are people that drive hundreds of miles to come and see the eagles. And that still makes me excited, even though the numbers are way up there. Now, not only did it affect the bald eagle, but it also really took a hit on a lot of the other hawks. And the red-tailed hawk is one that comes to mind to me. And now you see red-tailed hawks everywhere, which also makes me excited. And one more thing on birds, I love the pelicans. And I know some people, especially fishermen, say they're taking too many fish out of the river. And actually, I don't think that's accurate. But I love to watch the pelicans as they kind of funnel over the river. And you know, I don't know if they're back yet, but they will be coming soon.
Yeah, Margo, okay. I was just going to say, I saw my very first pelican when I was in junior high age. Maybe we took a trip down to Florida to visit some relatives, and I saw a pelican on the beach, and I thought, oh, wow, that's a really cool-looking bird. Had no idea that they would go up the river and we would eventually get them here in our area. And now we get flocks of them around here, and I just love them. I think they're so cool.
Oh, I do too. And, you know, again, I never saw them growing up. And so birds do shift, their environments shift, and their migration patterns sometimes change a little bit. So, yes, I need to look up the pelican, because I don't think it's been more than maybe 15, 20 years that they've started coming up the river. So, you know, that's, now we also have, you know, the flying carp and other things that are really wreaking havoc, but we got to kind of take the good with the bad, and everything in nature has definitely a right to live and do its thing. So anyway, so much for birds this morning, but I was thinking about that the other day when I saw the eagles. It's like, oh man, I remember, you know, when I first came to Clinton in the 80s, I saw a few and I was so excited. Okay, so if you do have a question this morning, the number 563-242-1252. Now, I have been talking about botany and about different parts of the plants and how they function. And I do want to talk a little bit about flowers. Flowers, there's so many different kinds, so many different colors. Some are self-pollinating, meaning the pollen will drip or kind of drift down onto the stigma, the female part of the plant, and pollinate the plant. Some are pollinated by wind. Some are pollinated by insects. Some, the insect actually has to crawl into the flower to get the pollen, and that's very specific as far as getting that variety to pollinate. Now, of course, petals, we think of beautiful flowers like roses or daisies, marigolds that have a lot of beautiful bright flowers. Some have fragrance, some don't. But there are also flowers that will be blooming shortly on trees. And examples would be the maple trees, the oak trees, the walnuts. And those flowers that bloom do not have petals. And because they do not have petals, we don't really notice them. So on maples, for instance, look for little round balls. Sometimes on the red maple varieties and certain varieties, it'll be kind of more of a maroon or red color. And little tiny clusters of flowers, and they're going to be pollinated by the wind, and then they're going to fall to the ground. So sometimes we'll see, you know, a dusting of something around a car on the sidewalk, and that could actually be those flowers falling off. So know that not all flowers have petals. Another example would be sweet corn. We have the tassel on the top, which is the pollen-producing or male part of the plant. And then we have the ear down on the stalk that has the silk coming out of the top. The pollen has to fall onto the silk, and then that pollen is actually going to grow down to the cob where a kernel will be formed. So every kernel on that cob of sweet corn or field corn was the result of pollen growing down a single strand of silk to that to form that seed on the cob. So there are a lot of different things going on with flowers. We do have Easter coming up, and if you can picture an Easter lily, you have that beautiful flower. You have the anthers, which are on the outside that produce pollen, and then the stigma and the sticky part that's going to collect it. So, you know, take a little time, look at flowers, and understand that each part of that flower has a special job to do. Okay, that's going to be my show for today, and I'd like to thank you for joining the Great Green Garden Show. Have a wonderful, safe weekend.